Bava Kama, Perek Tes, Mishnah Yud Aleph, 9:11. And now we continue the topic of the obligation to return what was stolen, and in the event that one swore falsely, also to add the 25%, all before he can bring his korban asham. The case of our Mishnah here is, what happens if the victim of the theft is a convert who has no children that are born to him after his conversion, or her conversion for that matter? Because the rule is that a convert is katan hanola dami, he's like a brand new born person, and that being the case, whatever familial ties, biological ties he has to the people who came before him, like his siblings or his parents or even his children before his conversion, are not recognized in halacha. So if he has no children afterwards, this person could be in the amazing scenario where there's actually no heirs whatsoever. So the rule is that in general, when such a person dies, so whatever possessions he has goes to nobody, they just sit as hefker, they're just ownerless, and kolakodim zacha, whoever takes it, first come, first served. The thing is, if a person had stolen from the garret, the same would be true, that in a simple case of theft, although there's an obligation to be heshaves a gazela, to return the stolen object, once the victim is no longer alive, so whatever he has is now ownerless, and therefore the thief can keep whatever's in his pocket. But our mission wants to know what happens if not only did the thief steal from this convert, but also swore falsely they didn't own the money. So now, if the thief wants to get atonement, he has to bring a korban asham, and he can't bring a korban asham until he returns the stolen object, adding the 20, and he's supposed to add 25% as well. And the question is, to whom should he give it? So the Torah actually discusses this explicitly in Bamidbar, Perkei, Mishnah Ches, and that's the point of our Mishnah here. So the Mishnah says, Hagozel es ager, if one steals from a convert, this again is a convert who has no children after his conversion or her conversion, v'nishbalo, then the thief swears falsely to the victim that he didn't steal from him, when really he did, and then v'meis, and then prior to the thief making amends, the victim of the crime, the convert, dies. So now what should he do? What should the thief do if he wants to, atone? Hareza mishalem keren v'chomish lekohanim. What he does is he gives, says the Mishnah, he gives that, not just the 100 that he stole, but 125, the keren plus 25 v'chomish, to the kohanim, as we'll see more details in a moment, v'asham l'mizbeach, and then he can bring his asham, this guilt offering, the asham gazelos, to bring as a korban on the mizbeach. Shneimar, this is actually explicit in the Pesukim, basically. The Pasuk talks about im ein la ish goel, in a scenario where, this is the context of someone being a victim of a theft and a false oath regarding the theft, swearing falsely, and now this person has no goel, no heirs. So the Chazal say, wait a second. There's no such thing as a person who has no heirs. Every Jew at some point, all the way back, you know, his family tree stretches back up to Yaakov Avinu, and then everyone is essentially a cousin of his, so there's for sure heirs somewhere. But of course, a convert who's born again, and therefore he's like starting afresh, has no heirs necessarily, if he doesn't have children of his own. So that convert, the Pasuk says, Imein la'ish goa lahashiv asham elav, if this victim has no heirs to whom the asham, here the word asham in the pasuk is referring to, which means literally guilt, is not referring to the asham, the korban, the animal, but rather the source of the guilt, the thing that was stolen. So the thief stole $100 from our convert. The convert has no heirs. The convert's now dead. And therefore, there's no one to give lahashiv ha'asham elav to return the $100 to. Ha'asham ha'mushav la'ashem la'kohen, says the pasuk, continues on. So then, this stolen object, the 100, and hamushav, also which has to go back, that's extra 25, la'ashem has to go to Hashem, so to speak, la'kohen, to the kohen, meaning that Hashem is the address, but Hashem passes it on to the kohanim. So in other words, the kohanim essentially are being what's called ochel m'shulchan gavoa, or zoche m'shulchan gavoa. They are essentially, it's Hashem's stepping in to take care of his beloved convert who's died, but Hashem gives what is given to him, so to speak, to the Kohanim. So the Kohanim receive it. I'm jumping to halacha l'maaseh just for a second to bring out this din a little more. This is only true when the Kohanim have a Beis HaMikdash and they're serving, therefore they merit to eat from Hashem's table, so to speak, but in the event there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no korbanos, the Kohanim aren't entitled to this, and therefore the din would be l'halacha. If a person stole and swore falsely to a convert with no children, and then the convert dies, he would return 125, not to Kohanim, but rather to charity, and the charity would be apportioned amongst, you know, all the poor people equally. Now, says the Pasuk more, Milvad Ayil HaKippurim, this meaning the return of the 125 tzikonim, is in addition to the eil hakipurim. Should say the eil. Eil is a ram for atonement. That's referring to the asham gazelos asher yichaper bo alav, which when it's brought will then serve to atone for the thief for his having sworn falsely about what he stole. Okay, so that's step one. Now the Mishnah continues on, and it says, "What happens if the thief now dies prior to getting the job done? So his heirs now step in. How does that work out?" Says the Mishnah, "Hayamale esa kesef veesa asham." If the thief now trying to make amends goes to Jerusalem and he brings in his, you know, wallet, the 125, he's intending to give it to the Kohanim as per the prescription of the Mishnah, the Pasuk we just read, and he also has the Esa Asham, he also has, here the word Asham in the Mishnah refers to the animal itself, so he also has a ram, which he has now consecrated to be his Asham Gazelos, and he's bringing that ram up to Yerushalayim to be offered. So, the mace, but before being able to give the money or the offering, our thief dies also. So hakesef yinaten levanav. So then the 125, which was set aside to be returned to the victim and now is going to the Kohanim, would now flow to his children, meaning the thief's children. The point is, there's the point of giving the money is to ensure atonement for the thief and enable him to bring this asham. He's not bringing the asham anymore. His death now, you can't do atonement for him anymore. If the halacha is that if the thief had already done teshuva, meaning he'd done the between him and Hashem part, he admitted he did it wrong, he could not do it again, he did a vidui, so then his death will act as a kapara for him, and if not, he won't get a kapara, he'll have to face the music in Shemayim. But the point is, now the money just is just money, and therefore it flows to the heirs. Va'asham, as for the animal which was consecrated, you can't just, it's now invested with the Kedusha, what can you do with that? Yire ad sheyistaev, you let it go out to pasture until it gets a mum. Meaning, you can't. The animal is invested with kedusha. You can't bring it as an offering because you can't bring an offering to atone for someone who's no longer alive, and therefore you let the animal graze. And when it eventually, you know, at some point will become invalid to be brought as a korban, getting a mum, getting a blemish. So, for example, it gets old enough and it gets, you know, a cataract in its eye, or along the way it gets injured and it gets a split ear or something. So then, at that point, it can't be brought as an offering. So now it's invalidated, and at that point, v'macher, one is allowed to sell the Beis HaMikdash, meaning is allowed to sell this blemished ram, get the money. The sale of the ram that's consecrated acts as a kind of pidyon, a redemption of the kedusha of the animal off the animal and onto the money. And then with the money, v'plu damav l'nadava, the money now should go into what's called nadava. That's a reference specifically to these voluntary offerings, or these shofarot, these like community chests that were in the Beis HaMikdash to collect the money to buy voluntary olos, burned offerings. They were brought as what's called Ketz Mizbeach, when the altar was idle, so then there were animals brought anyways just to be burned as olos to Hashem for the sake of just Klal Yisrael, and it's also like so the Mizbeach should always be active, etc., and it's part of Kavod. So the point is that the money then is used to purchase these kinds of communal olos, burnt offerings. Now, in case you're wondering, it's been niggling in your head, wait a second, I'll tell you a little more that's to resolve the mystery you might be wondering about. When it comes to a chatas, a sin offering, the rule is if it can't be brought because it won't affect atonements, like there are five ways that could happen, but the primary way is that, you know, the owner dies, like our case. So the rule is when it comes to a chatas, the chatas can't be brought, it's just left. It's just left to die because you can do nothing with it. There's no such thing as redeeming it. That's a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and the same halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai that says that the chatas, which can't be offered, is left to die. So it says also that if the same situation falls out with an asham, a guilt offering, instead of a sin offering, a asham, so the rule is that yira ad sheyistaev, instead of letting it die, you let it graze until it can be redeemed, at which point, once it's blemished, you redeem it, and then the money goes to the nedava.